Welcome back to Ashburton. We're about ready to start now.
It's political commentary.
This morning with Dr. Bryce Edwards. Morena, Bryce, how are you doing?
Morena, very well, thank you. It's busy in politics, even though the election is over.
There's
still a government to be formed, so lots going on, still the final results to come out.
Yes, it's been a very big few weeks, hasn't it?
Yes, it has, and a lot of us in the political sphere are kind of still recovering, and I think there's kind of a, everyone's going on holiday a little bit while they can sort of just take a break, because we're about to have a government formed, we're about to have the referendum results out, and I think the news will start cracking up again.
Yeah, and while we're waiting for the Labour Party to announce their decision on how they're going to form their government for this term, do you have any predictions or thoughts on who will be given ministerial roles?
Yes, so of course, New Zealand First are out, and so that part of the government no longer needs to be dealt with. But it's the Greens is the bigger issue, and of course, previously they had ministers outside cabinet, so they were part of the coalition, but not so centrally as New Zealand First. New Zealand First had ministers inside cabinet, so the big difference, though, is that Labour ended up getting a majority of MPs, which meant that they don't actually need to form a coalition, strictly speaking. Mm. They can govern on their own, they have enough support in Parliament to get everything through. But that doesn't mean they don't need the Greens, because there's a lot of reasons for Labour wanting to have the Greens working with them over the next 3 years. Partly because of the next election, they want to sort of get things lined up so that if Labour's vote does drop, they have a working relationship with this other party and they can then stay in government for the next term. But also I think they want to show that they're not just grabbing all the power for themselves, that they can work in consensus and can bring other parties in, and they're not just alienating one party because they don't need them. And I think probably most importantly, Labour's worried about having the Greens off to their left flank and criticising them all the time when they get things wrong. And so they'd rather have them in the tent rather than outside the tent. So we've got these negotiations going on this week to try and see if the two parties can find a way to work together. I think it's most likely to end up a similar situation to what we've had over the last 3 years of having some Green ministers, but outside cabinet. They're likely to be different ones. So, of course, you've got James Shaw as the co-leader. He has the climate change portfolio. I think that's likely to be maintained. But the question on the other ones, so currently you've got Julianne Genta and Eugenie Sage, also ministers, but the rumour that I'm hearing, the speculation I'm hearing, is that instead they're going to be replaced by Narama Davidson.
She's
the other co-leader now.
Yeah.
That she'll be promoted up to being a minister. Or at least this is the offer that's be given to the Greens. Because whatever Labour offer to the Greens then has to be taken back to the Green membership, and they get to vote on whether to accept it or not. And so my understanding is that agreement will be finalised tomorrow, Friday, and then it will go to some sort of conference call with some Green delegates, and they have to approve it with a 75% majority vote.
Yeah.
So that's how the Greens do things. And there is still some dissatisfaction in the Greens ranks about whether it works so closely with Labour.
Yeah, because do you think if they make a coalition together that the Greens will risk sort of compromising on some of their policies or their values?
Well, I think that's the worry within the Greens, that, and this always happens with any minor party that goes into coalition with a bigger one, they get overshadowed by them, they have to swallow some dead rats, they make those compromises, vote for things they don't really believe in, and they have to go out and sell things that the bigger party, has pushed through. And, that can sometimes be challenging for the principles, and it means that the party doesn't have the independence. The minor party doesn't have the independence to sort of put its own sort of policies up there and to criticise decisions that are being made. So that is the risk. The Greens are feeling that they'll lose some of their own sort of independence, if you like. So it is a worry for them, and I think there's some big debates going on about the Green and the Greens at the moment about whether to sign up. And yes, they, you know, they'll get some power through having ministers, but they lose a bit of their own independence.
Yeah, and it's probably quite good to have someone sitting in that corner to criticise the Labour Party for things that they feel they should be doing.
And the Greens is a big, you know, a lot of dissatisfaction with what the government achieved in the last term. They didn't feel that it was transformative enough, that it was radical enough, that they made enough, you know, sort of movement on issues like climate change, inequality, housing, and, you know, they want to sort of push this government more to do that. Are they better to do it from the tent negotiating with the party or through standing on the crossbenches or even in the opposition and challenging and pushing the party from there? So I think Greens are quite divided on that issue.
Yeah.
But I think they will, with Labour, they will sign up to whatever Labour offers, because they'll get a lot of criticism if they don't.
Yeah.
You know, people will say, well, you're just being purist. You just, you know, you've got this chance to help, you know, solving climate change and inequality, but you've decided to, you know, not be involved. And I think that will also be for the Greens if they take that.
Yeah.
If they decide not to cooperate.
I'm interested to hear what you think about the swing to the left that we've seen in this election and how that might affect the referendum results, or if you think that may have an effect on the referendum results.
Look, everyone was surprised by just how, you know, much of a landslide this was for the political left. And, I mean, we knew it was going to be a landslide, but I didn't see any predictions of this extent. And so, you know, really, we're stronger in the election. And so now the speculation is, what does that mean for referendum votes?
Yeah.
I think we can see now that there's actually been a bigger turnout than it's expected, and possibly a bigger turnout of the left and of the young.
Mm.
And so, therefore, I think for the euthanasia referendum, it's not going to change things too much. I mean, we just saw very solid support for that referendum passing, and, you know, really we'd like to see at least 60%, maybe 70% support for that. But it's the cannabis liberalisation or legalisation referendum that people had assumed, myself included, was going to, you know, easily fail. The opinion polls were showing us that really it only had about 40% support, and that, you know, even if it did a bit better, it was only going to get something like 45%, not enough. The result that so many people voted Labour and the Greens, so many people were mobilised on the more liberal end of the spectrum, can expect that it might do better than, you know, that was predicted. So I still think it's likely to fail, but it'll be closer than people assumed, and there is a chance that, which I didn't think there was, but there is a chance now that it could still pass.
Well, I guess if we've seen anything from this election, it's that polling isn't always so accurate.
Yes. I mean, it was genuinely accurate.
Mm.
It had the general gist, but it underplayed support for Labour and Greens and generally for the left. So we now have to kind of recalibrate those sort of estimations. Yeah.
When do we find out the results of the referendums?
The preliminary results come out tomorrow, I think it's 2 p.m. tomorrow afternoon, and then we have final results for the referendum and poll election the following Friday. So, yeah, tomorrow we'll get a very good idea. The following week we'll get the final results. So, and also, of course, we'll find out with Labour and the Greens and forming this coalition probably tomorrow night, but it depends how long the Greens will take to make the decision. It might not be till Saturday that we find out on that.
And if New Zealand does vote yes for both referendums, what will happen next?
Well, it's quite straightforward in terms of the End of Life Act. That essentially is legally binding, and the government or the parliament has to enact that legislation if there's the yes vote. It's a bit more complicated with the cannabis legalisation referendum. Then has to go through quite a process. It's not binding on the parliament. I think, you know, the government will, if it is enacted, but first they have to really go through the legislation, take it through the whole parliamentary process, including the select committee submissions. And there's, I think there will be a number of changes to the legislation, even if there's a vote, because it wasn't finalised. It really was basically a draft. And that will take some time. And although the End of Life Act will come in, I think, late 2021, the cannabis legalisation will probably take longer than that. There will be a lot more debate to come.
Oh, well, it's going to be an interesting few weeks then.
Yes, it will. No, things haven't finished. Politics is still big. And then we'll have a new government pushing through some new reforms over the next 100 days. So, yep, it's still very much a big time in politics.
Yeah, it definitely is. Well, thank you very much, Bryce. We always appreciate your time. And we'll talk to you in a couple of weeks.
Yes, cheers. Thanks.
You just heard a bit of political commentary.